Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line now is Mickey Modisani. He is the Chief Director of Communications Services at the Sports and Recreation Center South Africa, talking about art, culture and heritage. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine, mate. How are you doing? Morning to you and also to your listener.
So South Africa, in fact, I mean the whole of Africa, we've been accused in the past in South Africa of bashing down the old and just building the new. How important are some of our heritage sites?
Our heritage sites are very important, you know. But also, you must remember, there are those other heritage sites that doesn't have a very good legacy. And
that's always interesting. Yeah, what do we do with those?
Yeah, well, with regard to those, as you know, that from the department side, the minister has commissioned a team that are doing an audit of those, and also trying to find a way on how best to either peg them somewhere or to preserve them. Mm. That's what we're dealing with. Because remember that South Africa is a very diverse, we're a diverse nation, a diverse country, you know. And we, you know, in terms of our...
Yeah, it's so interesting
in
because...
In terms of our South African flag, in terms
and our
of
history.
Our national anthem, we're able to be very accommodative of everyone, you know. As we're dealing with that, there mustn't be... We mustn't shy away from the fact that there's certain legacy. That is a very painful legacy that as a country... We want to say never and never again, and we need to find a way on how best to deal with it, you know. We have to be very clear with regard to that one. That's why the minister, Natin Tetwa, commissioned a team to deal with it, and I think they're doing well, and then they'll be able to be giving the minister a report in due course. That's what I can indicate so far.
So what's interesting here is there's some things that are very clearly offensive. There's some things that are very clearly not offensive. I guess the difficulty lies somewhere in the middle where something might be offensive to somebody but not to somebody else. So, you know, whereas, you know, if I think about it from a Jewish perspective, being Jewish, if I think about Holocaust paraphernalia, a swastika is always going to be offensive to me. But what about something else that might have been from that time that was associated with it, that somebody else would look at and say, well, that's not offensive, but I can say, but it was to me. So I guess it's the same thing within the South African context. There's certain things in terms of our heritage. You know, I remember having this discussion about...
Can I just indicate one thing? Mm. That, for instance, the South African Carlos. The South African Carlos, as we know, I mean, I think it's Khosi Mampuru. Mm. They have been preserved, you know? Mm. And if you go there to the Carlos, it's a heritage site.
Mm.
The heritage site, in a sense that there is so much of our history there on how our, you know, South African liberation... how they were handled and how they were dealt with.
Mm, mm.
And it's a painful past. But we always say that for us to be able to know, to move forward, and never to repeat the same mistakes again, we must somehow also remember where we come from. We cannot shy away from that.
We shouldn't, you know? Absolutely.
We must always remember where we come from, you know? Apartheid was a very painful process,
sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
whereby the legacy right now, it is in showing in terms of the disparity across various sectors.
Absolutely.
And hence I'm saying that the sensitivity part, that's why from the ministry and the minister side and from the government side, it is very clear. A team has been commissioned, is dealing with that. And then they'll be able to come out with a very clear undertaking in terms of saying, how do we deal with these issues moving forward? Right. You know? But however, we know that history, there's certain history that you want to preserve. And also from a human being perspective, there are certain bad things that have happened in your life that you wish you could forget. You know? Or either throw them in the back of your mind somewhere. They must just stay there, not
do
something.
Yeah.
And there are certain things in life that you want to hold on to because they've been positive and they've done wonders, you know. So from an Ubuntu perspective, if we can move away from that angle, I think especially for the future, and the legacy of those who are coming after us, South Africa will have a beautiful story to tell.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely critical. What how has COVID impacted on these programs?
COVID has been very painful. It has been very painful. As you know, that the sport art, culture and heritage sector has been the worst hit. The worst hit in the sense that a lot of things shut down. The sector totally shut down, you know. And us experiencing a total shutdown of the sector, that means a lot of our colleagues, a lot of families and friends, you know, they lost their jobs and they lost a way of living, you know. And hence, as a department, in anticipation, the minister in 2019 in March, he then announced 150 million relief fund that is going to be, distributed in the sector so that we can try and preserve the well-being and also the dignity of for our practitioners, you know. So gradually, we have been dealing with that. The presidential stimulus package as well came in as well handy. Mm-hmm. And then we continue as well to create more jobs and also create, you know, sustainability in terms of, you know, the lifestyle and the well-being of the sectoral practitioner. So it has been a very difficult process, but gradually we are getting there. Today I can affirm to you that on the first relief, the department gave about 75 million the sector and to the sector practitioners. We went on again to announce the second wave, the second relief fund. The second relief fund, close to about 23 plus or minus million, was also given out. And then we announced the third phase, over and above the presidential stimulus package, which about 500 million was equally distributed. But once more, it's still not enough. It's still not enough because the sector is still closed, you know. And the department is doing everything in its power to ensure that payments are effected as much as possible. So far, on the third wave, relief, we have given over 1,430 applicants. Within the sector, they were able to get the relief and also at least something for them to hold on to for now.
Is this both public and private? Can both public and privately owned heritage sites apply?
Yes. Now with regard to heritage sites, on the public heritage site, remember, there is what we call the state subsidy that we make available to our, you know, to our public or state sites, including the state museums and also heritage sites. So what happens is that when COVID struck, we continued. We didn't cut the state subsidy. We continued to give out that state subsidy. But with regard to the private ones, what we then initiated or requested that they should continue doing, we requested that they must continue and equally apply as organizations for relief funding and for relief support, which most of them did. I might not have the actual figures in terms of the numbers, how many of those did, but somehow those who were shut down, we requested that they should apply. And I can tell you that organizations as well have been supported to date, and we continue to support the organizations. I know on the third phase, on the third relief, that once we have paid the individual applicants in terms of the individual practitioners, we are then going to be now dealing with the organizations. There's quite a number of them that have applied, and then we'll also be giving support to those.
Is it a difficult process to apply?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The criteria is it's set by the state and also by the department or also by individuals that are within the sector. Like, for instance, we work very close to the likes of SITSA. We work very close to the likes of BASA, and us, South Africa, we work very close to the likes of NAC, etc., to make sure that the criteria suit and also it's accessible to all the practitioners, you know. The other thing is that I remember at one stage, one of the criteria requirements was that it must be a South African organization for itself. And then also the executive must be South African, and then you must supply their IDs, and also you must have a valid South African account and be a valid shouldn't be a defaulter. You must
Obviously, there's certain qualifications. Sorry, we do need to leave it there. Mickey Modisani, who's the Chief Director of Communications, talking up to us about the Heritage Site Relief Funds.